1620 The Zone app. Here are Gary Sharp and Damon Benning.
Swinging a deep fly ball out to right field. This one's deep. This one's back. This one is off the second deck in right center. Brian Reynolds is homered for a second time today. His 14th of the year, and the Pirates have one back. It's 6-5.
Hit another home run, Brian Reynolds.
Man, I couldn't get his third.
Yeah, well, he had three home runs, six RBIs. Pittsburgh beat Washington yesterday. Kansas City won yesterday. They're now 20 games below 500. Zach Greinke, who is unique, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah. That was a barn burner.
Started his 500th game, only gave up a run yesterday against the Rangers at the K.
Who played a game yesterday in 247?
That seems long.
247?
Yeah. Pitch clock will be here next year. 247.
Oh, it was Atlanta and Philly. Six of Philly's last seven outs were via the strikeout.
Ouch. Welcome back. Baseball is still baseball.
I was like, what is going on? Wright was kind of dealing. If he's good for them in the second half too, I'd color me concerned again about the Braves.
They trudged through the first 50. They had a team meeting, and they've taken off since then.
Yeah. 21 wins in June.
Yep. And they are closing in on the Mets. We need the Mets to continue to lose for my...
Mine too. Are you on the Mets under too?
I'm on the under. I'm on the under for the Mets. The under.
I am too.
Sharp Betting in the Morning. Welcome back in. Yesterday, you know, in the age of social media, Damon.
I don't know anything about social media.
Players and former players, everybody seems to have bigger voices.
Play on, player.
There is the good and the bad of that. Well, yesterday, a player named Val Martin in Minnesota, who transferred to North Carolina State, dropped a bunch of blank on P.J. Fleck. Now, there is no denying that P.J. Fleck in 5 years at Minnesota is 35-23. He's on about a seven-year run. Outside of the COVID-impacted year in 20, where Minnesota has... P.J. Fleck's been on an ascension. Throw in Western Michigan and now at Minnesota. They lost at home last year to Bowling Green and Illinois and still found a way to win nine games, beat Wisconsin, and won a bowl game. So the record is what it is. So he has had more success at Minnesota in recent history than some other players. But according to this former player on social media, Val Martin, he threatened to pull Val Martin's scholarship if he retaliated for some stuff that was going on. So Val Martin went on social media yesterday and ripped P.J. Fleck and asked other players to chime in. And they shared some stories. And as I was following along, I don't think this is a story that you go, oh, there's a lot of drama involved. But of stuff that was said, I was like, I'm not really like surprised or, oh my gosh, this is fireable or he's a tool or P.J. Fleck is everything that P.J. Fleck is, that we have known from day number one. And that's his personality. I think it's the same personality in front of the camera as away from the camera, in front of the team, away from the team. He's 35-23 in 5 years. Okay? He's 35-23 in 5 years. Is our coaches do things that you don't always agree with? Certainly. I mean, do coaches probably fear that some of the stuff that they pull behind closed doors or in the intimacy of a locker room or a team setting gets out? I'm sure every coach does. Even the most successful coaches do. But yesterday was not like, hey, are you guys going to talk about this? This is, man, I think PJ might be gone. No, he's not going to be gone.
No, I'm not. Listen, I don't know enough to, like, defend him, so I'm not going to do that. And I don't know enough to pile on, so I'm not going to do that either. I do know that there's a thing called there's general consensus, and then there's a few, right? It's no different than with us or anybody else. You're going to have pockets of people that really, really enjoy what's going on, and you're going to have pockets of people that don't. And so that's just the nature of it. What I don't like, though, is I think there's a better way to speak generally about what ails a program or a relationship or something like that than to outwardly try to defame or demean. Like, I'm not a big fan of that, right? At some point, and it's not even so much taking the high road. I think you can get your point across if it's a valid enough one without having to do that. Because I don't think, like, what good comes out of it? I guess what, like, what's, yeah. I would just have to ask, like, what's the desired outcome?
This seems more like a Val Martin problem than a PJ Fleck problem. He's very polarizing, and he's not for everybody. And he's probably not for everybody that plays a year in his program and realizes that Minnesota's not the right place for me. But all I know is that there are times where Minnesota football could have caved, especially this past year, and they didn't. So there's got to be culture that somehow keeps people together, and there's some player love for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, he's not for everybody. Jay Foreman tells the story the first time he met PJ Fleck and the whole elite comment.
Not his deal.
But that's who he is.
Yeah.
You know with him, he's the most polarizing coach in maybe in the entire Big Ten. But you know exactly what you're getting. Okay? You see what he does, and you know that that is what you are getting. Now, if I am a Minnesota football fan, and I have not had a ton of success, heck yeah, I would take 35-23. And along the road, I have beat Nebraska on an annual basis. I have found a way to beat Wisconsin. The only thing I haven't been able to do is beat Iowa, where you've lost to Iowa five straight years. I mean, whatever happens in Lincoln with Scott Frost and his tenure and his record, and he may go on to win someday a Big Ten championship, he will always have on his resume the worst loss ever in the history of Scott Frost as a head coach in 2020, when a COVID-ridden Minnesota team, a day after a blizzard in this part of the state, walked into Memorial Stadium with Tom, Dick, and Harry playing and 25 other guys and beat Nebraska.
Hmm. Well,
I mean, that's the, in my opinion, that's the worst loss of the 4 years. But that also, if I'm looking at Minnesota and trying to gauge the, I don't know, the health of a program, guys would have been easy to say, I'm good.
So,
I'm good. Coming to an end. We made it through this COVID season. We've been disrupted. I came to Lincoln and looked like they were all in the same boat together.
So I think a lot of coaches, regardless of the sport, right? It could be, you could go local here with basketball and take a look at some of the winning programs. Woodard, Lutke, Barons, right? There's gonna be some stories where folks are like, man, I didn't have a very good experience.
Mm-hmm.
You take local football, same thing. Local baseball, right? Coaches coach pretty hard. There's gonna be some of those stories. The collegiate level, there's a wide range of feelings from different coaches that former players have had, and we were winning. Like, not everybody's going to have the same opinion on Coach Osborne or Coach Brown or Coach Solich, for that matter. Like, I probably feel vastly different about Coach Solich than D'Angelo Evans. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, or Marvin Sims or somebody like that. Yep. So it's like, I don't know. I just don't like the fact that, because it's not always somebody else's fault. Occasionally it is, but those guys in those situations, like, they know that. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do that, then just say, like, hey, you know, I probably could have done this differently. You know, or maybe I didn't receive that well, and this is what happened, as opposed to but. There's a huge, huge difference in telling stories between and but. You know? Hey, I know I was supposed to go to the grocery store, but when you called me, it did such and such, such and such. Oh, man, you still were supposed to go. Or as opposed to me saying, hey, I know I was supposed to go to the grocery store, and when you called me, I was thinking about this, this, and that. Like, it lands differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think people want to get in the habit of like globbing on to taking sides and pawning stuff off as fact, because everybody has got a story to tell.
Yeah. Didn't it seem, as this unfolded yesterday on social media, and we've seen this happen before, Minnesota is not the first program that's happened to, there was a shift of, it wasn't necessarily, oh man, I'm with you, player. It was, okay, yeah, this seems kind of out there, but what's your end goal here? I got a football coach that's 35-23 in his fifth year, and we're winning football games. And I know that we have turnover, and we have guys that get into the portal, but we also grab guys that get into that come out of the portal. There's got to be something right if my coach is 12 games over 500 in 5 years. Okay, he isn't faking through season after season. Again, he's polarizing. That's what when you hire a guy like PJ Fleck, you know exactly what you're getting. And whatever he does in his personal life, that's on him. Okay, he'll have to answer for that someday. And probably for him, you hope it doesn't get in the way of his professional life. But that's his. I mean, there are reasons why why coaches like to be private away from the facility.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if a coach, like, I just don't, some of that stuff, man, I just cringe reading, because there's unintended consequences for other people that are involved when you do that to people. And it's like I always say, man, hurt people. That was a little much. I'm sure it was great theater for some, but I mean, you have to be careful when your house could be a little fragile. Right, there's very few programs and fan bases of programs that could look at that and say, "Hey, man, I'm here on my soapbox. Yeah, look what he said. Look what he said." Like, don't do it, because it's probably not going to turn out well. I mean, it's just not. T.J. Hockenson feels a lot different about Coach Ferentz than, let's say, Noah Fant.
Great example.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's right? Right? Wandell Robinson has a vastly different opinion of Coach Frost than Gabe Irvin. Who's right? I mean, it is what it is. It truly, in this case, it is what it is. Right now, you start to get a multitude of guys that say the same thing.
That's what you call trending.
Then you're in a situation where, better take a look at this. Because then you're in a pattern of negligent behavior across the gamut, as opposed to isolated situations. Because how isolated would something have to be? Is there a magic number if you have 140 players in your program that make it not isolated? Because 10 seems like a lot, right? 10 out of 140. Like, if 10 players said mm-hmm. something, that seems like a lot. 10 out of 140 does not seem like very many. So, like, is there a magic number where you're like, oh, man, this is on my radar now? And is it starters versus non-starters? Are there any, like, what would the...
Well, you... So you...
What
you
would
just
the chart, add, the overlapping chart
you,
look like?
You added a line that I think does, if it occurs that it's a frontline starter that speaks up, and you start to go, okay, they don't really have an axe to grind because they're playing and they have an integral part on the team compared to somebody that maybe is lower down on the depth chart and has an axe to grind.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing, right? If a coach is winning and there's a disgruntled player, you know, it's the player's fault. If the coach isn't winning and there's a disgruntled player, then it's the roles get reversed. I don't know enough. You know, I don't need to hear about like his personal, like, I don't, some of that stuff I don't need to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my business. It's not their business. I mean, a lot of that stuff I didn't like. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I mean, not everybody's gonna be. It's just
put yourself in the shoes of the Minnesota fan that, and we hear from them. Not everybody has fully. I mean, 5 years in, again, beating your rival. Hasn't beaten Iowa, but has also beat Nebraska and has got you to bowl games, and you've won bowl games. I mean, you won 11 games 2019. You won 9 games last year when you really probably had no business winning 9. I mean, you lost to Bowling Green in Illinois at home, but rallied to win 9, which included a bowl game win over West Virginia. 5 years, 35 wins, not all in, because look at how a torn Minnesota fan might be. Their opening game this year is New Mexico State. You know who coaches New Mexico State now? Jerry Kill, who this is privately, you'll have coach-on-coach crime, but he has been publicly coach-on-coach crime against Fleck, and they meet on the opening game of the season. Minnesota's first 5 games this year, they have New Mexico State, Western Illinois, Colorado at home. Remember, they went out to Boulder and won last year. Then they go to Michigan State week 4, and then they come home and play Purdue. That's their first 5 games.
Yeah.
Hey, there is no doubt that he is polarizing, but I've got a 7-year run here where the man can coach football.
Yeah. I mean, you've heard some stories, right? I mean, Black tells the story, at Michigan, how PJ put him on the clock for a decision. And I think sometimes people look at that as, and again, I can't defend or validate, but like the way the story goes from Black, it's, man, I only had a certain amount of time. It's longer than that. That's not going to work for me. Man, I'm out. Fleck may say, and I can't make it up on the fly because I'm not for sure, but maybe Fleck was like, hey, listen, when I get back, 3-day weekend or whatever, let's have some finality to this so I don't have to drag this out anymore from a position standpoint because I may want to do this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who's right?
And he also appears the way
who's right?
Yeah, exactly. He also appears to be, we hear the recruiting stories because he would love to get a Nebraska kid on his roster, especially an Omaha kid. We know how aggressive he was with Xavier Betts. I mean, he blew up his phone.
I know you keep saying that. I don't know if there's a particular thing, though. You know what I mean?
He is aggressive towards kids in Nebraska. And here's the thing that maybe this isn't – you have to help me here because you're in the middle of this process. So this is one of the things I've heard from a couple of different people that have been recruited by Fleck. And including one person who committed to Minnesota, is at the beginning of your recruitment and leading up to a decision, either a yay or a nay, there's a lot of Fleck. I mean, the head coach is the chief guy, and he's bam, bam, bam. How you doing? How you doing? What can we do for you? Hey, we're going to be here to see you. Good luck in your basketball game. It's an onslaught of the head coach. And then once you say yes, he hands you off to your position coach. And you're going to have now more contact with your position coach than the head coach. That's the way he runs his recruiting. And for some people, that's like, whoa, okay. We were going nonstop. Now, yeah, I like my position coach, but hello, head coach? That's not for everybody.
Yeah, we're way early in the process, but early it's been position coach for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any problems. Like, at first blush, when I'm listening to it, I don't really have that big of a problem with that format, right? Because that's the person that you're going to be spending the most amount of time with. Like, right now, it's much more important for Coach Fisher or Coach Joseph to establish the relationship than with Coach Frost. In my opinion, I don't know what he would say.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could easily ask him. But as I look at it, I do. Coach Frost said something interesting at one of the practices this offseason. He said one of the things that he's enjoying is getting to know the players that he wouldn't ordinarily have time to spend time with. So, I mean, maybe that's a thing.
Are we talking recruits or on his current roster?
His current roster. Because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your position coach and your strength and conditioning coach spend way more time with you than the head coach. He just doesn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Coach Solich way better than I knew Coach Osborne. Some of that was my own immaturity, kind of that fear factor, like, oh, man, I don't want to talk to this guy. Like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I think that's normal. Like, I don't know what my guys would say, but I think that sounds normal to me. I mean, I could take probably Coach Taylor probably felt like he was closer to Coach Taylor. Aaron would probably tell you he was closer to
Milt.
To Milt than
Dan.
And Dan than Coach Osborne. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the case. If you have a really good position coach that invests in you and gets a return on their investment, I imagine that's pretty much the case. Unless your head coach is your position coach. Like your quarterback. Like, you know, Tommy's relationship. That would be a good question for him. Where was your relationship stronger, with Coach Osborne or Coach Gill?
I don't want to speak for him. That's a good one because they both were kind of hand in hand, you know, because they were always mm-hmm. together, like with those quarterbacks. Yeah. I would guess. I'll guess Coach Gill. I'm going to ask
you. But see, that brings, so, you know, now coming back, bring this back to Nebraska.
I'm going to guess.
Is. Gil.
You got a guess?
I'm going to say Coach Osborne.
Okay.
But if we asked Adrian, who did you feel you were closer to, your position coach or your head coach?
He'd definitely say his position coach. Guarantee.
But shouldn't that be the other way around for a starting quarterback?
Well, there's a lot in that.
Yes,
right?
But like, but I'm telling. Let's go
know.
General here. Let's go general.
Okay. What's the question?
The quarterback relationship should be stronger, or maybe just a shade stronger, with your head coach over your position coach.
Probably inclined to agree. Only because of the role that this particular head coach played on his football team. I mean, he was the offensive mind. That was his side of the ball.
Yeah.
It's not like that for everybody now.
No?
You know, I would imagine Coach Day has a pretty good relationship. You know, I would imagine Coach Saban has a pretty good relationship. I don't know. You know, Kirby Smart, do he and Bennett go grab wings? I don't know.
That's interesting for coaches. Like, you bring up Saban. Saban works with the defensive backs. Now, he's around the quarterback, but would Tua say that his relationship was stronger with, I don't know, Lane than it was with Saban?
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky.
And there's I've told the story about Nebraska baseball with Van Horn. You know, players will say they had a stronger relationship with other members of the staff and not their head coach. And then when you're out of the program, you realize the impact of the head coach. I imagine that's the same. But that it didn't, the drama that was created on social media yesterday, I didn't go, oh boy, they're in trouble in Minnesota. I just went, the guy's won 35 football games. He's got to be doing something right. You may not like his approach, and he may be by far the most polarizing guy that coaches football in the Big Ten. But right now he's winning. Right now he is winning football games. And for Nebraska, he is beating Nebraska. And he's probably beating Nebraska at things that you like, man, I'd love to have that. I wish we had that. All right, 7:39. Coming up in the next hour, Sarah Baker Hansen will join us. Also, Stephen M. Sipple will stop by on this Thursday edition, the last day of June of Sharp and Betting in the Morning on 1620 The Zone.